We are almost done with Psalms, and God willing, we will be done with the Psalms at the end of January. And then who knows what we'll do after that. Looking forward to it. But we are tonight in Psalm 146. This is the first of five, what they call Hallel Psalms. They all begin with the word Hallelujah. And that translates to praise the Lord. So some of your translations might have Hallelujah, some of them might have praise the Lord. It means the same thing. So I'll tell you what, just happy praising Psalms from this point out. No more complaining from David. It is all just praising God for all the wonderful things that he does. So we're going to pretty much not spend a lot of time in the psalm tonight, and then we're going to worship. So let's pray. Father, we do thank you for the encouragement to praise you, that we would remember your goodness. And I pray that as we look at this psalm, that we would be reminded of some just things. We've known these things, but Lord, we got a way of forgetting and just looking somewhere else. And so we thank you for the reminders and ask you to solidify those things in our hearts, in our minds, and that our eyes would be stayed on you, that we would be filled with your joy, with your peace, your love, and that you would be glorified in our lives. Thank you so much, Lord. We love you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. That's that thing we get from, you know, Psalm 103, you know, all that is within me, bless his holy name. So it's not just our lips praising the Lord, but rather it is within us. And if you're wondering how to make that praise come out from within you, I think the rest of the psalm's not going to hurt. It's going to definitely help. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. And so it is, the psalmist knows and understands that our very breath comes from God, and that God has done some amazing, wonderful things that we're going to look at. And so, you know, while we can, we should be praising the Lord. Now, this thing about praising the Lord, understand that it's not something that helps God out at all, but it definitely helps us. We tell the Lord how great he is. We tell him all the things he's done. And he knows these things. And so the question might be, well, why do we have to do this? Because when we do it, then we remember all the good things about him. And it changes us when we keep those things at the forefront. So so as long as we're breathing, we're praising the Lord. Do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man, in whom there is no help. His spirit departs, he returns to his earth. In that very day his plans perish. And so it is. This ought to be a no-brainer for those of us who know the Lord. But as it says, princes, this would be those who are in authority. And the fact is this world has a way of trusting politicians and believing that if this guy gets elected, then everything's going to be wonderful. But the fact is this, even if the best guy gets elected for whatever office you were voting for, he's still going to fail you. He is not the answer. He or she is not the answer. And so, not to say don't vote, because, you know, if you've got one pile of dirt and another pile of dirt to vote for, one pile of dirt is going to do less evil than the other, perhaps. So still, you know, you vote for the best thing you can. But as far as putting your trust in man, well, there's no help, as it says. One reason that putting your trust in man, especially in men of authority, people who are in authority, is that most men in authority are doing everything they can to remain there. And their whole bag is to use everybody to whatever degree they need to in order to keep their position. And so it is Proverbs 23, verses 1 through 3. And when you sit down to eat with a ruler, consider what is before you, and hold a knife to your throat if you're a man given to appetite. If you just like, oh yeah, I'll eat the ruler's stuff, you may as well just go ahead and kill yourself, because that's what he's out to do to you. He's in it for himself. So another reason we don't trust princes, rulers, and such is verse 4, because he's just a person like you and me. You and I struggle in our lives, and so often we're looking for a savior, and we keep looking for saviors in other people. I remember, even in just relationships, going through school from the time I was in junior high school all the way through. You think if that girl likes you, everything's going to be great, and so there's that sense of you're looking for a savior in a person, and that person is as sinful and as foolish as you are. Good luck with that. And so, a person is a person. We're all people. And so to trust one another, it's just not going to work. Now, you and I need to trust one another in some ways, obviously. If you bring over a casserole to my house, I'm going to have to trust that you didn't poison it. Although casserole, that word alone makes you think it's poison, huh? Yeah. But we trust one another in many ways. But the fact is this, we do not, we will be letting each other down because we're all pretty inconsistent. And so, of course, the exhortation is to not trust man at all, but to trust God, and that's where we're going to go with this. One commentator suggests that princes, and I love this, doesn't speak merely of like somebody in power or have some place of authority, but somebody who is influential. And that really, that showed me a picture of us, in that we are so quick, I hope nobody in this room, but people are so quick to put their trust in an actor or an actress or a singer or an athlete. Somebody who can like hit a baseball over the fence. If you throw it out, you could throw the ball 100 miles an hour and he can swing a stick and hit it over the fence. And the next thing, you just like, oh, if I could only meet that guy. You think he's special. And then if he has anything to say, because you're a big fan, because he can hit a ball over the fence with a stick, he has anything influential to say, he's like, oh man, yeah, this guy, he's the greatest. And I think people get that way with actors and actresses, maybe more than athletes. And this, people's trust for, Oprah Winfrey, or Ellen DeGeneres, some of these great people. That was sarcasm. But don't you know sarcasm when you hear it? And so, and then what do these people do? They stand up and tell you who to vote for. They tell you the problems with the world. And all they can do is memorize lines and pretend to be somebody else. But you have now put your trust in them like they're good people. Anyway, don't trust people. Don't trust people. They will let you down. And they're just like you and maybe worse. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever. And so there's the contrast, and for the rest of the time, we're going to see that contrast. You don't want to trust princes. That's the high people, influential people of this world, because they're just people like you and me, and they're going to fail you, sinners. But God, you're going to be happier if you realize who God is, and you're trusting Him for everything, and you're hoping in Him. So what has God done? Let's see, what has man done? Okay, let's go back to the baseball player. He took a stick and he hit a ball over a fence. Now let's see what God has done. Oh, He made heavens and the earth. Which one is, you know, just better? Made the sea, made everything in the ocean, and He keeps truth forever. Truth. I think this is one wonderful reason to trust the Lord, because His word is true. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And what you and I need more than anything is the truth. You and I cannot possibly grow. We cannot possibly live. We cannot understand eternity until we have come face to face with the truth. And as Jesus said, they'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And if you and I are rather, as it reads in Isaiah chapter 28, taking our refuge in lies, then we're ruined. We are ruined. And, you know, let God be true and every man a liar, as Paul would tell us in Romans. And back to trusting in man, I'll tell you what, you know, if you've ever been to Peru, you know that man is a liar. And I'm going to pick on Peruvians here for a second, because it's their culture. Their culture is to lie. They say, hey, come over to my house to have something to eat. They say, oh, okay, well, I only have 45 minutes. How far is your house? They go, oh, no, that's fine. It's not far at all. Well, it's 3 hours away up a mountain. But it is their culture to just very nicely tell you what you'd rather hear. And so you want to trust in man. You know, we do it too. We won't tell the complete truth in many instances. And we got good reasons to not tell the truth. But Jesus is the truth. And when He shines His light on you and me, we know the truth not only about Him, but we know it about ourselves. And the problem with knowing the truth about ourselves is that it is painful and it's embarrassing at times. And once we've been embarrassed by His light, then we can do something about it. And there's just nothing like the truth about ourselves that can set us free. And so the Lord keeps truth forever. God can't lie. And so He plays His hand face up. He tells you everything He's about. He tells you and I everything we're about. And that's why you're going to be a lot happier coming to the Lord, because He'll just tell you. He'll tell you who you are. Okay, what else about God? He executes justice for the oppressed. He gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. We are so easily now going to spiritualize this. As first of all, what we know about our God is that He goes for the underdog. He sees those that are getting beat up by the rest of the world, and He cares for them. And there are those who get, you know, beat up by the world, and man is not going to care for them. In fact, man is the one that's beating them up. And so the Lord sees those, and He lifts them up. But that is the case with you and me. As God had saved Israel, as they were in slavery in Egypt, so when the Lord found you and me, he found us slaves to sin. And when we cried out to him, he executed justice for us. And as Jesus was nailed to the cross, he made a public spectacle of the enemy that held us. And so justice, as we owe for our sin, was nailed to the cross. And the Lord then fed us the things we need and set us free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. We're talking about Jesus here, obviously, but as it reads here, the Lord, verse 8, that's Jehovah. And when Jesus came, we got a look at who the Father is. As Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so Jesus came and he literally opened the eyes of blind people. And he lifted up those who are bowed down. I think we talked about this morning, even the woman caught in adultery. He lifted her up. The Lord loves the righteous. Now, does this mean that the Lord hates the wicked? Well, we do see that the Lord hates a few things in his word, but understand that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believed in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And so, when it says the Lord loves the righteous, it's not to the exclusion of the unrighteous, because Jesus died for sinners only. And so what is this business about the Lord loves the righteous? Well, you become righteous by coming to the Lord in truth. And once you and I have become righteous, the Lord doesn't love us any more than he loved us before. But the fact of the matter is this: we benefit from his love. We understand, the righteous understand, God loves me. He loves me, not because I am righteous, but because he made me righteous. And so you and I, we just drink it in. We receive all of this love from the Lord that the unrighteous have no idea is available to them. And so they can't know it whatsoever. And so the Lord comes, the Lord Jesus Christ, come raised us up, opened our eyes that we could see him, and he pours out his love all over us. The Lord watches over the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and widow, but the way of the wicked he turns upside down. Who's the wicked? Just the unbelievers. The unbelievers they're given every opportunity to become righteous, but instead they're the ones out there destroying others, living their lives for themselves only. And so, you know, God's going to turn them upside down at the end of the age, and it's going to be a done deal. I don't like that sometimes. I want God to take care of some wicked people right now. I want God to do the stuff you read in the news, some of the things that people have done, and I just get as sinful as anybody else, you know, and I want God to hurt that person for the hurt that they have caused. And yet, the Lord is patient and he loves them. When their time is done, and if they have not responded to the Lord's prodding and responded to his love, the conviction of the Holy Spirit, he's going to turn them upside down and they're going to get crunched. They will get what they deserve. I praise God I have not gotten what I deserve and I won't get what I deserve. I'm just going to get loved on. So with that said, Don't put your trust in people. People are going to let you down. But look at everything the Lord Jesus has done for you and me. And so we trust in Him for everything that we need. But, you know, we're going to be taken care of all the way to the day that we die. And once we do, or the day He returns. And once we see Him, and then it's glory forevermore. So I just don't know why anybody would want to turn any other place. The Lord shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord, and the Lord reigns forevermore. I don't feel like I need to even explain any of this stuff to any of us here tonight. I didn't need to say a word, because we have trusted the Lord. We understand that trusting people is not the thing to do. As the Lord spoke to me one day, one of the few times He spoke to me, and He said very plainly and clearly, don't lean on things that might move. How many things have you and I leaned on that just did not hold to its promise? So many things. And so we trust the Lord, and we're going to praise the Lord, and hopefully as I'm growing in the Lord, I would understand that the only answer to this life is to praise the Lord as long as I live. And every day to think about every good thing He is, every good thing He has done, and every good thing He is going to do for people like you and me. So let's pray. Father, we do praise You. Lord, You created heavens and the earth, the sea and everything in it. You looked out for the oppressed. You have called us to Yourself. You have opened our eyes. You have given us eternal life. Lord, You are truly wonderful. And we want to thank You for all that You've done. We love You and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.